Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of Hebrews chapter 3, we were taught that God has a much different view of sin than man has. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Think with me, if you will, of these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 13, and please listen as I read them. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Remember the two sons of Aaron? They offered strange fire, but they did it in the name of Jehovah, in God's name. And he goes on to say, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Again, the golden calf, just like the strange fire the two sons of Aaron had offered, the golden calf was made unto God, to Jehovah. But it was still an idol. And so they wanted religion their way, and that's why they eat and they drink, and then they start taking clothes off, and they get up to play. Now, I think they didn't get completely naked. I think that they were just very immodest. They could have been completely naked, but I think when the Bible sometimes shows people as naked because they don't have enough clothes on covering all their body that he wants covered. And by the way, you ladies, you walk to church, you come in that church house, and that blouse you have on is just a little too low and starts to reveal just a part of your anatomy that God only wants your husband to see. You're naked. And the Bible would call you naked. And that is a sin that you need to get right with God. Learn modesty. Learn to please God instead of trying to please the eye of man. And it goes on to say, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. You know, there's a double meaning there, the idea of ecumenical coming together of other religions, but also of just plain old fornication. God hates the sin of homosexuality. He hates the sin of moving in and living together without marriage, of premarital and extramarital sex. God hates those sins. They're terrible. And men may hate me for saying that, but one day they'll have to answer before God, not me. It doesn't matter if I say it. What can I do to men? But they better understand God has a different view of their sin than what they do, and God's the judge, not them. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. We've been talking about the temptation of Christ of these people in the wilderness. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. By the way, in not tempting Christ, as some of them, that is, those people in the wilderness, tempted him, shows Jesus Christ is the Jehovah of the Old Testament as he is of the New Testament. And it goes on again to say, now all these things happen unto them for in samples, just like it said in verse 6. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. My friend, you can fall, I can fall. Better take heed. And then he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, that verse, verse 13, is based on the fact of the wilderness trials and temptations and the opportunities to trust God. And you're going through a trial, it's an opportunity to trust God. and realize that the Bible is true, that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you, and you can have his peace and his joy in the midst of trouble. In the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus says, but be of good cheer. For Christ says, for I have overcome the world. So erring in the heart tells us that sometimes the enemies are within, not only without. So we saw the unique person in verses 1 through 6. And we see the unfaithful people in verses 7 through 11. Let's next see the unbelieving peril of verses 12 through 19. In verse 12 here we read, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now remember, this takes up from verse 6. And you'll remember in verse 1, the first word was wherefore. Verse 7, the first word was wherefore. And now, the first two words here are take heed. Now, it's not the same word, but it has the same idea. That is, as a result of this, you better be doing such and such. Now, he mentions an evil heart of unbelief. And understand, this is a warning verse to Christians. The word evil has the idea of evil in a moral or spiritual sense. It is wicked and malicious in this matter. It has the idea of evil in active opposition to good. As a matter of fact, the same Greek word is used when calling Satan the evil one. Imagine being saved, but you're acting like the devil, an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is a lack of trust in the promises of God. Therefore, one does not do certain things because they lack trust in God. Now, if you get nothing else out of verse 12, make sure you get this. Unbelief is evil. Some people won't follow God's will because they've lived in a certain style of living, and they realize, well, if I do this, if I quit my job and I go into the ministry, I'll never be able to live like this again. Well, not in this life, maybe. Do you think God will not sustain you and fulfill you? Do you think that you have to have that kind of a house, that kind of a car, and that kind of an income to be fulfilled? If so, that kind of a fulfilling is temporary, and it'll all be left behind. The fulfilling and the peace God gives leads to eternal reward. See, unbelief is actually departing from the living God. And the word departing here is the idea of standing away from, standing aloof from. And you're standing away from and you're standing aloof from God. When a little boy is placed in maybe a classroom or some other area with a group of other children that age, and it's just a little guy, and he is made to sit by a girl for that class period, maybe sit by a girl as they're contemplating doing something with that group. The little boy, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to him in elementary school. And there he is. And so he tries to act in such a way so that no one mistakes them as boyfriend and girlfriend. They don't want to be associated. He just doesn't want to be associated with that. He said, why do you use that illustration? I can remember as a teenager and then as a youth director. Not as the youth director, but as an assistant youth, should I say, as a young man. I can remember taking the teens and they're wanting to go out after church. But they didn't want to go out in the church bus or the church van because it had the name of the church on it. It would identify them with that church. And that would be so uncool to be associated with church. And so that's what they were doing. They were standing away from. They were departing. They were standing aloof from. And that was a sin on their part, okay? The Greek word has the idea of not only evil of itself, but it brings others down with them. And we see that has happened today. At one time, the church was trying to convert the world. Now the world has come in and converted the church. Unbelief in the sustaining and fulfilling love of God is a reason so many, like the children of Israel, turn to the flesh instead of holy, separate living unto God. And this is called by the Holy Spirit of God, evil. The root word for departing in Greek also is a root for apostasy. That is, they have knowledge of the truth, but in this case, aren't trusting God to a degree to trust Him by living according to His Word. Now, this shows us it's one thing to trust God for salvation, but it's quite another thing to surrender our lives and wills to Him for daily guidance and living. I believe that Lot in Genesis is probably an example of this. Matter of fact, I would have told you that Lot is not a saved man, except we find out in 2 Peter that he is saved, okay? And he's one of those guys that are saved so as by fire. He's one of those guys that do not enter the promised land. He's the one that loses reward. Now, all truth speaks with authority to those who are true. Now, God's word is all true. It's absolute truth. There's no error. There's no mistake in God's word. And it's absolute authority to all who believe the truth and live according to the truth. And if you're going to be true to God, then His word is true to you. It has authority and it's absolute. Now, to trifle with any truth of God's word is perilous, just like trying to change the word. Omit things from the word. That's what sometimes people do with translations. I had somebody say, well, nothing's ever been put out of the word of God that has any doctrinal significance. When I show Matthew 18:11 that says the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, they say, well, that's in other parts of the Bible, though. But why did they leave it out of that part when it's in the best manuscripts? Of course, some say, well, you know, these Bibles are worded so much better that it helps us to understand. Oh, it does. Many of these Bibles, the word hell, which is translated hell about 54 times in the New Testament, in the King James Bible, seems like these other Bibles want to use the word Hades and Sheol. Now, if you ask most men what the word hell is, they'll kind of give you a pretty accurate definition. If you start asking, what is Sheol? What is Hades? They might come close on Hades, but Sheol will throw them. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.